I'm Nick Evans. I have an unusual passion, snakes. I'm usually the guy walking towards these amazing creatures when they intersect with humans, when everyone else is running away. Join me for my latest adventure in snake rescue.
It was quiet the whole day, but suddenly this evening, from about 4:30 onwards, my phone's been ringing non-stop. And the call I've prioritized is a call for what sounds like a black mamba in the roof of a policeman's house in the Ndwedwe area north of Durban. Apparently they have had a mamba in that same roof before, so I'm surprised he's still living there. But yeah, I'm going now to check it out. Unfortunately, it's just such a bad time, and mamba calls always come in at a bad time. It's 5 o'clock traffic, so I am a bit delayed, but the traffic seems to be clearing a bit now. So yeah, hoping it is a mamba, my favourites, and I will keep you posted. Alright, so I got to Birralum and I met up with the policeman. It's quite interesting because he's got his blue lights going, obviously because he's panicking because it's his house, so we're trying to get a clear and quick route to his house. His family's there, home, well, they're alone, his child. And amazing to see how he's got his blue lights going and he's flashing taxis in front of him and they will not move. They just will not move over for him. All too often we do see people not moving out the way for police or for ambulances especially. People need to know to move because there's lives at risk. Yeah, in this case, I wouldn't say the mamba's going to attack anyone because that's not what they do, but you never know what could happen, but the mamba's life is also at risk. So, yeah, please, if there's a policeman or policewoman or ambulance behind you, please move over for them. Yeah, this, I was told in Dwedwe, but, gee, I don't even know where we are. It's on the back end of nowhere. We're on a bumpy road. I can't see much. There's just long grass everywhere. There's no lights. This could be really interesting. Hope I'm with a policeman.
We found the snake. Well, you can hear it. It's in the plastic, right in the center of a rondavel. It's just there's a lot of beams in the way, and the towels on the top are stuck down. So it's a pretty challenging situation. You can hear it moving when I tap the plastic, but just getting to it is going to be difficult. So yeah, we'll see. I'll keep you posted.
Like my last mamba call, that one really had the heart going. As I mentioned earlier, we could hear him moving around the rondavel. Ideally, it would have been nice to go up there and pull off some tiles, but they were stuck down properly. We weren't going to win there. So I was cutting holes in the plastic. You know, every time we cut, he'd move, obviously, as you'd expect. You know, he's scared. And then eventually, we got to a point where he curled up on a beam and it sort of sat there. I think it was just hoping that we wouldn't find it there, but yeah, unfortunately for the snake, we found it. But it's actually fortunate, because if we didn't catch it now, it could well have been killed. And obviously we've got to be concerned about human lives, because if a black mamba, especially out here, we're out in the middle of nowhere, if a black mamba bites someone here, you know, if an accident happens, there's a big problem. The mamba was killed up there. I cut a hole on each side of the beam. It looked at me, and then it was just trying to find a way out, but it was stuck in there. It had nowhere to go. So I took a bit of a gamble, and I cut a hole like in the middle where I thought the snake was. I was obviously careful not to cut the snake. And the tail just fell out right in front of me. But obviously I didn't know which end it was. I just saw something fall out, and I jumped back off the ladder and I landed on the freezer. So sitting down, I was a bit sore. The adrenaline's wearing off, so I'm starting to feel a little bit, but that's alright. So yeah, there was that scare. But yes, then eventually we got it onto that beam, and I'd cut a hole on each side of the beam, and it was almost like a game of cat and mouse. You know, I was trying to get it from this side, that side, and Shane, the poor guy that was in the room with me to help, I'd given him my one torch, and he was terrified. I said, "Shane, but I'm shouting instructions at him, but I had a torch in my mouth. So he obviously couldn't understand me. It was just a bunch of moaning. And then I reached in with the tongs and I grabbed and eventually pulled the bit of the tail out. Now I had the tail. And the head was trying to go on the other side of the beam. And this guy that was helping me, he could see it. He's telling me, it's here. But now I'm like struggling to see because one foot's on the freezer, one foot's on the ladder, and I've got the mamba's tail. And it was comical, really. Well, I suppose there's serious consequences, but for the most part. Yeah, so I had the tail. Then I could feel the body starting to reverse, and that's not really ideal. I didn't want it reversing out like that, because then, you know, I've got it in the open, and it could potentially fall out a bit towards my legs. Next to me, like above where the door is, there was basically a short wall. It didn't really go anywhere. So I rested the mamba's body on that, so that it had something to reverse onto. I didn't want its body around my arm, because then if the head came out and I missed it with the tongs, it's anchored onto me and obviously it's going to bite me. So I let it wrap around the wall or wrap onto the wall. But at this point now, this cement was above the door. And the guy helping me just saw this tail coming out and the body, more and more of the body coming out. And he's like, I need to go outside, can I go outside? I said, no, you got to stay here. Because also I didn't really want him running under the mamba. But he was not happy with me because I'm saying, no, you can't go outside. And he was desperate, and he wasn't even shining, and I was trying to tell him, shine, but torches in my mouth. He was a big help for the most part, but at the crucial point, he was no help whatsoever. He was hiding on the other side of the room. His eyes were wide open, and he was like screaming to the ones outside, and at the back of my mind, I was laughing, but for the most part, I was focused on the snake, of course. You have to be. So now the tail was on the wall, it was like anchoring onto the wall, but then the body came out much quicker than I anticipated, and my tongs were around the mid-body section, and I didn't like that at all, because now I could feel the front half coming out, the head end, and this is the point where I was panicking, because now, where I was holding it, if it swung towards me, it had easily enough distance or length of its body to strike, to bite me. It could have easily swung and bit me. And I just had the tongs too low down on the body. It all just happened too quick. It came out too quickly. So I stepped down on the ladder. I held on with the tongs. But now the cement was my cover, really. But I couldn't see. So my hand was holding the tongs above. So my hand was still exposed by that. You know, in a worst case scenario, I'd do anything to avoid my face or chest being bitten, because that neurotoxic venom would work quicker then. That's really dangerous. So I was ducking down. I was trying to hide behind the cement. I was loosening my grip with the tongs ever so slightly as I was cowering behind the cement block with my hand exposed. I was letting it move, reverse slowly back, because generally when their body's gripped like that, their focus is to reverse, to try and like get out of it. So I loosened my grip and let it reverse slowly. And then when I peeked over the cement and I could see, I had it near enough to the head where if it struck at me, it wouldn't reach me. And that's all I really cared about. And then at that point, it was straightforward, if I could say that. I let the head reverse right back into the tongs and it wriggled around a little bit and it struggled a bit. And it was a little bit tense grabbing the head. But when I felt I had a good enough grip with my hand, I released the tongs and, yeah, job done. When I turned around, my helper's eyes, I've never seen someone's eyes that wide. It looked like they were going to pop out of his head. He was traumatized. It was a really difficult capture, not ideal, just full of challenges. But I always enjoy them. You know, especially these long drives up into the middle of nowhere. Sometimes, actually, quite rarely, it's a waste of time. But usually, these are the calls you remember most. They're the most exciting. And this was right up there with one of my top calls of the year so far. Thoroughly enjoyed that. Scary at times, yeah, for sure. But fun in the end. And it's easier to say it was fun and enjoyable once all is well. You know, I've got the mamba in a bucket. I keep it on my passenger seat. Don't want him bouncing around in the back of my bucky. Plus, if someone tried to hijack me, they'd see a black mamba in the passenger seat, and they would abandon their mission very quickly. Shame the guys there were really kind, really grateful. And that's mostly, I don't do this for the money, because really the snake catching business is not really a business. It's not something to make money out of. You can maybe break even, but it's certainly not a profitable line of work. I do it because I absolutely love it. And it's funny, often in the more wealthy areas, people don't want to give you anything for petrol. And sometimes people make out like you work for them. I don't work for anyone, I work for myself. No one pays me to help others. So some people do have that entitled attitude, which is sad. Yeah, these people don't have loads of money. You know, they ride out in the sticks. And they all work hard for their money. And I think they can understand the value of, you know, like running costs. So they gave me 100 rand for petrol, which I really appreciate, you know. They didn't have to, but like that to me means a lot more than a call-out fee. So it was a really nice experience, really nice people. And the mamba was in the process of shedding, so it's got flaky skin and that. But it'll be alright, I'll keep it till it sheds properly and then I'll set it free again.
This has been another real-life edition of Snake Rescue with me, Nick Evans. Find more of my snake rescue adventures on your favourite podcast app.